Now, these messages that I've been teaching on, God's love, your quest, and, you know, we were sharing the last time we were together that anytime you have a quest or you have something you're pursuing, it takes up your attention. It's on your mind. It's on your thinking, and it captures your attention. So what we're talking about here is, and from the scripture, it tells us that God's love should be our main goal. It should be our quest. And we've spent some time last time sharing this, but I'd ask you to turn to John 13 and 34 and 35, the Gospel of John, and we're going to look at a few scriptures. You know, when you listen, this is why it's so important to go back. I periodically, I don't do it all the time, but periodically listening to those that have gone before us, that have experienced supernatural things from the Word of God. When I listen to Brother Hagin, he talks about how when he was a young man in the ministry, people that he interacted with back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, and he said people who he would interact with, people that had a long life, people that, you know, he was talking on, you know, one of the churches he pastored. He said he was there, and he said he, in that area, he met a man. He said he was in his 90s. He said he hadn't been sick a day in his life. He had all his hair, all his teeth. He said one of the things God told him was, watch your tongue. Watch what's coming out of your mouth. Watch the things that you're saying. And he said, I did that throughout my life. I watched what I was saying. And he said, I've never been sick a day in my life. So when you listen to people that have lived a life of love, watched what they've said, you'll find that in their life, there's health, there's prosperity, there's blessing, because they've followed the principles of the Word of God. And so here in John 13, 34, this is, you know, I call it, this is our marching orders here from the Master. It says, a new commandment, I'm reading from the King James, a new commandment I give unto you, that you do what? That you love one another as I have loved you. Boy, you might say, wow, that's a big order right there. And it says that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. And I read from the Passion Translation, it says, so I give you now a new commandment. Love each other just as much as I have loved you. For when you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another, everyone will know that you're my true followers. So walking in the love of God is probably one of the biggest challenges we have, but it's also the greatest reward. So God has given us a commandment to walk in His love and to love like He loved us. And so that we're to love one another, but He's also given He's given us His love to do it. So it'd be different if He gave you a command, you know, and then didn't give you the tools or the wherewithal to do it. He's done that. He's literally taken up residence in us. The minute we got born again, that love nature came in us. So when you look at, I'm reminded of the scripture in 1 John 4, if you'd turn there for a moment. 1 John 4 and 8 talks about God is love. But First John 4 and 8, it says, beloved, let us love one another. That's an action, love. That word is agapeo. That's the action or the verb of love. Instead of agape is a noun, agapeo is the verb. This is here, love, we're action, it's action. It says, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that what? Loveth, that means you did something, you acted on it. It says here, is what? Born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. So here, you have to be born of God, then he comes and gives you his love. He gives you his very nature. God is love. He's come and taken up residence in us. So now we can love. You know, people say, I can't love that person. Yes, you can. You just don't want to. You're fighting, your flesh is fighting. But you can love like he loved. 1 John 3:14. We're familiar with this scripture. It says, we know that we have what? Passed from death unto life. Why? Because we love the brethren. So the mere fact that you can now love like he loves means you've passed from death unto life. There's a change in nature in you. It says, he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Now let's turn over to Jeremiah. I want us to look at this particular scripture here from the Old Testament. Two scriptures, actually, Jeremiah and Ezekiel. But I want us to look at Jeremiah first. Jeremiah chapter 31. And just get over here. Chapter 31 and verses 33 through 34. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verses 33 and 34. And it says, but this shall be the what? The covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. See what it says? After those days. And then what else does it say? I will put my law. He didn't say laws, did he? He said law, singular. He's talking about he's writing on our heart the love of God. It's law. And what did he say when he talked about a new commandment? Now, he said what? That we love one another. Let me continue here. In verse 34, it says, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Now let's look at Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel, just Lamentations, Ezekiel 36, chapter 36. And verses 25 through 27. It says, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Now look at verse 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a what? A new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a what? A heart of flesh. Verse 27, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you, see what he's saying? Cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. How are we going to be able to do that? Because he's given us a new spirit. He's given us a new heart. He's come to take up residence in us. Now we have the love of God in us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now let's look at Romans chapter 13. Still talking about the love of God, but just giving you, adding some scripture. Romans 13 and verses 7 through 10. Romans 13, verses 7 through 10. And this is supporting what I was sharing in John chapter 13. Romans 13, starting in verse 7. It says, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Now, look at verse 8. Owe no man anything but to what? But to love one another. That's the one debt that we have. We're to love one another. And then what else does it say? For he that loveth another hath what? Fulfilled the law. So we just got back. We were back over in the Old Testament talking about looking at the law, and God said, I'm going to put a new thing in you. I'm going to give you a new heart. And if you love one another, you fulfill the law. Wow. And what else does it say? You fulfilled the law. Verse 9, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any commandment, any other commandment, and there are, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now look at verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is what? The fulfilling of the law. Wow. That's why love must be our primary quest. Because when you operate in the love of God, it's the fulfilling of the law. Glory to God. And what does it also say? Love works no ill to his neighbor. That, what does that mean? That means something that I do, am I going to do something that's going to cause an effect in those that are nearby? Neighbor just means, that word is nigh bor. That really means somebody who's close to you. That could be your husband, your wife, it could be your children, could be somebody you know personally, could be somebody on your job, somebody close to you. So what I'm about to do or say, is that going to work ill towards them? And this says here, we're not to. It says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Glory to God. You know, we all run into issues and things where we may have conflict. But the question is, if in your thoughts you want to get even, this here is saying we're not to work ill towards that. We're to find out, okay, God, what am I supposed to do? Well, we know what we're supposed to do in 1 Corinthians 13. So let's take a look at that. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 13. And let's take a look at, I'm going to read from the Amplified Translation, verses 4 through 8. Actually, before you go there, let's go to Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. Before we go to 1 Corinthians, we're in Romans chapter 13. Let's back up to Romans chapter 5. Sorry about that. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. And it says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is what? Given unto us. So we now have the love of God in us. We have the love of God. You know, I'm thinking about You know, I'll go back, this is almost 20 years ago. It was about 20. And, you know, I had a situation where I lent somebody a significant amount of money, and it was somebody I worked with. So, I'll give you a clue. It was in the ministry. They don't work here anymore, but, you know, they were having a tough time, and so I felt I had the money. I said, okay, I'll help you. You know, he was in a pinch. And he said, well, do we need to, I should have known, and I just wanted to help. And so he said, do we need to, you know, write some kind of note that I'll pay you back? I said, no, I trust you. And as they say, he blew the coop, and so did my money. And I never saw him again, and boy, I was hot. Because it wasn't a small amount of money. I mean, I was hot, hot. I was upset. And, I said, boy, if I ever get a hold of that guy, I'm going to wring his neck and something else. And so I was upset. And the more I was upset, I kept hearing down here, let it go. And I said, no, I don't want to let it go. And the Holy Ghost kept saying, let it go, just let it go. And because it was a large amount of money, I said, I don't want to let it go. I'm upset. And the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost is a gentleman. He won't make you, but he keeps bringing it up, And finally, I yielded, and I said, all right, I'll let it go, but I don't want to. You know how we do. We fuss. And so finally, I'm serious, through grit teeth, I said, I'll let it go. And I had to do that every day. I said, okay, I let this money go. I let it go. I planted a seed. I forgive this person in the name of Jesus. And I did it through grit teeth. But I did it. See, God wants you to do something. He wants your words. Yes, maybe my heart wasn't initially in the right spot, but I made a decision I was going to let it go. And so over time, over a period of weeks and months, it got easier. And it was, I was free from that. And I said, no, I'm free. I let it go. And thank God, because I guess it was a year or so later, that person came to the ministry at some kind of teaching event or something, and I'm so glad I let it go. I saw him. I had no feeling one way or I didn't. I just said, praise the Lord, good to see you. I never thought about it. And I let it go. And God was getting me to operate, what, in the love of God. And I didn't want to. And so there are times we may have a situation in life where we just, everybody's situation is different, but boy, I'll tell you, the flesh, boy, it wants to get even. It wants to say something and let them have it. But that this says here, love works no ill to his neighbor. Boy, and you say, but I want to. Yeah, your flesh wants to, but the scripture says we're not to. And God has a way of making things come out to your benefit. Because I can tell you, through the years, I recouped way, way more than I let go. Way more than I let go. So God has a way. Now, you don't see that initially. You just want back what you let go. But God has a way of multiplying back to you that which you let go. If you will operate the Word of God, if you will operate in the love of God, He has a way of supernaturally bringing to you that which you lost or what you thought you lost. Amen. I say amen. It was a learning experience for me, and I'll tell you, I grew through that. You know, we talk about painful growth. It was painful, but I made a choice. And so, when we talk about this, it says, something I heard Brother Hagin say in this tape, this message last night. He said, love, like faith, is revealed in word and action. Love, like faith, is revealed in word and action. You want to know where that's, you know, he didn't reference it, but I knew where he's going. You go right over to James. It says, if you don't act upon the word of God, it's for naught. You're deceived. So love, like faith, is revealed in word and action. And so there is no faith without word or action. There is no faith. That's what James says. And consequently, there's no love without word or action. You can say, I love you, but if I don't see some word and action, it was just talk. There has to be word and action put behind it. You've got to demonstrate. You know, he shared something that's so poignant. Through the years, people would say to him, I can't love that person. He said, well, then you're a murderer. Because that's what the scripture said. Those that don't love are a murderer. And a murderer hath no eternal life. And he said, I knew what they really meant. They didn't want to. There's the flesh. But what he was saying was, look, you've got to act upon that which you is in your heart. You've got to. Your flesh is going to fight you all the way. But as we do, the love of God, in other words, if you look at in, just turn over there for a minute. I'll get back on track here, but go to Galatians chapter 5. If you just look at Galatians chapter 5, in verse 22 and 23, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit, what's the first fruit of the recreated human spirit? Love. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there's what? There is no law, because love is the fulfilling of the law. So if we operate in the fruit of the Spirit, but what has to happen here? Fruit can be developed. And so the love of God has to be what? Developed and perfected in us. And so we can, love grows. How does love grow? Like faith. Feeding on the word of God and putting it into practice. How does something grow? You know, you go to the gym, how do? You eat good and you exercise and you grow muscles, you get strong. So the same way, your spiritual muscles grow by how? Feeding on the word of God. It is bread, it is food for us, and acting on it, practicing it. So you've got to feed on the word of God concerning the love of God and do what? Act it. Act it out. So love does what? Works no ill to his neighbor. Glory to God. So let me read this. I know we read Romans chapter 5. Let's go back here again. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Listen to this translation. This is the Jordan translation. It says, for God has given us a love transfusion. I like that. God has given us a love transfusion. That's just another way of saying that the love of God has been what? Shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. The Blackwelder translation. It says, God's love has been poured forth into and continues inundating our hearts. Glory to God. Praise God. Glory to God. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 13 and let's read this love chapter. We want to know what God's love is like. Here it is right here. The word of God is what? God speaking to me. Amen. So 1 Corinthians 13, And I'm going to start in verse 4. It says, love endures long. And I'm reading from the Amplified Translation. It says, love endures long and is what? And is patient and kind. You know, I'd stop here. You know, you may endure long, but you may not be patient or kind. I'm enduring, but I'm not too patient about this, and I'm not too kind. But it says here, love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. Love is not boastful or vainglorious, and it does not display itself haughtily. Love is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights and its own ways. For it is not self-seeking. Oh boy. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. So that means everybody that's got this little Rolodex in their mind about every little thing somebody did, you need to hit the delete button. You know, and that, I'm telling you, you get into conversation with folks, it's interesting. Sometimes I'm checking myself. If I go back and say, well, you know, they did, why am I saying that? Why am I bringing that up? Delete. See, so it's an everyday, you've got to examine yourself and examine the things that are coming out of your mind and your mouth and begin to say, wait a minute, let's put that in light of God's word and the love of God. Was that the right thing to say? No. And if you, and as you continue to act upon the word of God, what will it do? It will erase that. Doesn't happen overnight. But it'll erase that. You'll go back to, I don't remember a thing about that person. I don't bring it up. Right? So we have to act upon the word of God. And it says, what does it say? It's not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe what? The best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. You know, something interesting to hear somebody that's gone before you, when it says here, love is ever ready to believe the best of every person. He began to tell stories about himself as a pastor for 10 years. And he said, people who come into the church, you know, come in at all different various levels and growth. And he said, I just saw people the way I wanted to see them in their, you know, in their growth state. So I treated them that way. I looked at them that way. I didn't treat them as if they were, you know, God doesn't treat us, think about this, God doesn't treat us in a way that's, I don't want to use the word inferior, but he doesn't treat us like babies, does he? Immature. He doesn't. He treats us like his children, his sons and daughters. He doesn't say, you know, that's the 10th time you've done that. You know, what's wrong with you? That's the 50th time you've said that. He doesn't mash it on us. He treats us as his sons and daughters. So he treats us and those things that he feels we need to change, what is going to change us? The Word of God. The Word of God is going to change us. That's why he's given it to us. And so we need to think about that, that when we're interacting, even in a church setting, he talked about, he said, he pastored a church. He said it was so tense in this church. He said they had groups of people. One group would sit on one side, one group would sit on the other side, and they'd snarl at one another. But he said, it didn't bother me. He said, I just treated them the way I saw them by faith, and treat them with the love of God and teach the Word of God. And so I think the same thing, you know, you can treat people. It's like he said, you know, sometimes people from that generation, you know, I'm talking about your parents and grandparents, they use terms that were just, you know, kind of this country wisdom. He said, you know, he said, a hog has just as much sense. He said, if you every time you went to feed the hog, you kicked it, he said, why would they want to eat out of your hand? Why would they want to take feed from you? So his point was, if you're going to treat people that way, why would they listen to you? Why would they aspire to grow and to mature if you're always beating on them? God doesn't beat on us. He treats us with love. And so we ought to do, he says, we ought to love one another as he loves us. How does he love us? He don't beat on us when we miss it. The Word corrects us. If we feed on it, it'll say, you shouldn't do that. Shouldn't have said that. The Word is what? God speaking to me. So the love of God in us will keep us on the right path, keep us steady. So 1 Corinthians, let me go back here. Let's read verse 8. Love does what? Never fails. Say that. Love never fails. Say it again. Love never fails. You might say, well, boy, if I reach out and love, no, love never fails. Love never fails. Never fades out or what? Becomes obsolete or comes to an end. Love never fails. It never becomes obsolete or comes to an end. Now, when you look at verse 14, chapter 14 of the next chapter, because really in context, the thought just continues. The writers put chapter markings in, but this really is a letter to the Corinthians. So what does it say? After he said, now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity, it says, follow after charity, follow after love, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Listen to these. These are the New Living Translation. It says, let love be your highest goal. That needs to be our highest goal. Let love be your highest goal. The Message Translation, it says, go after a life of love as if your life depended on it, because it does. This is the Message Translation. So a life of love should be our goal. And then the Amplified Translation of 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, it says, eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your aim, your great quest. Make the love of God your aim, your great quest. Look, you've got to start somewhere. You know, I decided, I don't know, it was about 2 years ago when I started teaching on this subject, and going through, looking at each verse in 1 Corinthians 13, at that time I made a decision. And I said, okay, I think it was around the beginning of either 17 or 18, I think it was 18. I said, well, look, Let's read 1 Corinthians 13 once or twice a day for the next 3 months. I just never stopped. And I read it first thing in the morning and the last thing at night. And I choose to, and I said, do we always hit the mark? No, we miss it. But by feeding on the Word of God and making a determination to act on the Word of God, you open your heart up to be changed. It begins to change your thinking. It begins to change how you act and how you view things, what you say. Maybe you've acted a certain way and expressed yourself for a number of years, but by feeding on the Word of God and acting on the Word of God, we're going to get better and better at doing what? Exemplifying Him. Acting like the love of God, like God Himself. This is how He would operate. And I can tell you, there's times you say something and you go, I shouldn't have said it that way. Our brother Hagin, he was talking about how he was reprimanding his son, who's now pastor. And he said, I had a right to reprimand him, to spank him, to correct him. But he said, I was mad and the way I did it was wrong. What I did was right, but how I did it was wrong. And he said, after I did, I stopped and apologized to him. He said, Ken, he said, I did what I did because it was the right thing to do, but I was mad and I apologized. The way I did it was wrong. See, so sometimes we could do something that's right where people are concerned as a pastor or a leader, but how you did it was wrong. How you said it, how you expressed yourself. You understand? And that's the same thing. That could be the same thing. What you say to your children or your husband or wife could be right, but how you did it was wrong. It wasn't done in love. You see? Everybody understand that? Glory to God. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 4 for a minute. Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 29. Ephesians 4, verse 29. And I'm going to read this from the Amplified. You follow along in whatever translation. Ephesians 4. Verse 29 through actually going into the next chapter of Ephesians 5. But it says, let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as it is fitting to the need and occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace, God's favor, to those who hear it. I always stop there and say, before you hit the button on your phone to transmit something, think about this. Does it do what? Does it provide or benefit to spiritual progress of others? Verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, do not offend or vex or sadden Him, by whom you were sealed, marked, branded as God's own, secured for the day of redemption, of final deliverance through Christ from evil and the consequences of sin. Let all bitterness and indignation and wrath, passion, rage, bad temper and resentment, anger, animosity and quarreling, brawling, clamor, contention, and slander, evil speaking, abusive or blasphemous language, be banished from you with all malice, spite, ill will, or baseness of any kind. And become useful and helpful and kind to one another, tender-hearted, compassionate, understanding, loving-hearted, forgiving one another readily and freely, as God in Christ forgave you. Now let's continue in verse 1 of the next chapter. This is the Amplified. It says, therefore, be imitators of God, copy him and follow his example, as well-beloved children imitate their father, and walk in love, esteeming and delighting in one another, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a slain offering and sacrifice to God for you, so that it became a sweet fragrance. Now, I want to look at one, just you're in Ephesians 5, look at verse 25. See, this is the love commandment here again. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. And gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. Verse 28 says it again. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Glory to God. So we can see here from the scriptures that God is in his word in a number of places, not only shows us that we need to be born again to love, have his love nature, but then he commands us to love as he loves and love one another. And we can see from 1 Corinthians 13 what that love looks like. But as we close, I like making affirmations. Let's say this together. The love of God is shed abroad in my heart, and I let that love nature dominate me. Let's say this. I am quick to forgive. And I am quick to love. I will keep my tongue from speaking evil and pursue peace with every man. I will walk in the love of God. I will not criticize others because God's love works no ill to his neighbor. I will practice thinking and saying the best of every person so my love can grow and develop. Now let's make this one last statement. I will make the love of God my great quest in life, for then my love shall abound and God shall get the glory. You've got to make a determination and a decision, and I would suggest to take the time, take 5 minutes. Just read 1 Corinthians 13. Read it at least once a day. I suggest doing it twice, once in the morning, once at night. Read it. Meditate on it. Start there. And then begin to just act upon the love of God. God will give you, you know, in life, you're going to have opportunities to walk in the love of God every day. You know, you just get in your car and drive down the road. Go to the shopping mart, stand in the grocery line, whatever it is, you're going to have opportunities to walk in the love of God. And so I would suggest that we start doing that. Make it your great quest, your great aim, because when you do, not only is your love going to grow, but your faith will grow, because your faith worketh by love. It's going to take faith to operate in love. So as you make a decision to operate in love, not only is your faith growing, but your love is growing. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. So I hope you're getting something out of this. I tell you, it to me has become, you know, we teach faith and that's wonderful, but I can tell you this is the commandment of God, to operate in the love of God. How is the world going to know that we're his disciples? By our love one for another. And so it is important to God. And so when we sing these songs, you know, like this morning, you know, I give myself to you. My life is not my own. No, it's not my own anymore. I must walk in love. I must operate in his nature, in his love. And if I miss it, I miss it. Then I ask God, forgive me, God, I'll do better next time. I'll do better next time. But the only way you're going to do better next time is to feed on the word of God and make a decision that you're going to walk in love. You've got to make a choice. And I'll tell you, when we do, it will literally change you. It'll change everybody around you, change your family, change your you know, all your interactions is going to change. It'll change in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. You know, I share this in closing. You know, I just, sometimes I am in awe of God and how he does things. But you know, when Pastor Sarah Clinton graduated from Rhema Bible Training Center years ago in 1980, they were driving back home and Pastor Sarah said she heard the Holy Ghost say and give her the motto of this church. And that is to me a hallmark. The hallmark is, what is the motto? It says, where the love of God is evident, the word of God is taught, the spirit of God is directing, and the power of God is manifested. Well, you can't have the spirit of God directing and the power of God manifested if you don't have the love of God and the word of God being taught. So God knew what he was doing when he gave that motto. And it must be the primary thing, the love of God. And it must be evident, not just talked about. Have we always hit the mark? No. But I'll tell you, if we work at it, we will hit it. We'll hit the mark. And wouldn't it be wonderful to be known, you, be known for your love walk? Boy, if there's one thing that person loved like God loved. Known for your love walk. Yes, sir. Father, we thank you this day for your word. Thank you that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts and it's working in us and causing us to be different, to change, to love like you love. And Father, we thank you that you are a merciful God. Even when we didn't miss it, even when we did miss it or we didn't miss it, you're merciful. But Father, thank you for your mercy in all the times that we didn't hit the mark. And Father, we are determined to walk in the love of God. We're determined in this disruptive earth that we live in this devilish climate that we live in, Father. We thank you, Father, that we're going to walk in love. And even in the Gospel of Matthew, you said in these end times, the love of many shall wax cold. But Father, our love is not going to wax cold. Ours is going to get hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter so that we can be used in a greater measure in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you this day. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. And before we receive the offering, let's just take a moment, check our hearts, and ask God if you've never asked him to come into your heart, if you've never believed on the Lord Jesus and asked him into your heart, then this is an opportunity for you to do that. You believe that Jesus is the Christ. You believe he was raised from the dead. If you believe that, the word of God in Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that we must confess that. Believe in our heart, confess with our mouth, and we shall be saved. So let's say this simple prayer. Father God, I believe that you sent your Son to this earth to die for the sins of all mankind, to reconcile mankind. I believe that Jesus is the Savior. He is my Savior. And I believe that you raised him from the dead when sin was paid for, and we were raised from the dead and seated in heavenly places. And so now I accept you, Jesus, into my heart. I believe and ask you to cleanse me with the blood of Jesus. Make something new of me in Jesus' name. And I believe now by faith that I am saved. So if you said that simple prayer and you meant that from your heart, that means you got born again. That means instantly your heart was changed and the love of God was put in your heart and eternal life came in. Let us know if that you made that decision today. Father God, we thank you. Glory to God.